Blog Talk Radio.
Here she is! She is so hot, sassy, sexy, fluffy. Your host for tonight with LaCrutch Hart. You're listening to Not On Purpose Talk Radio on the Hearts Exposed Heart Network. Let's talk about matters of the heart. Broadcasting live from the streets of New York, Brooklyn, stand up.
And now you've got yourself something funky.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Not On Purpose Talk Radio. I am Miss LaCrutch Hart, and welcome to the late start of the show. I have my awesome cousin, a.k.a. co-host, a.k.a. Miss Shante Golden. How are you doing, ma'am?
I am good. How are you, cousin?
I'm sorry. It's not my fault. This is why I
You're
don't
fine.
Do
you are fine.
This is why I don't do shows. This other time I tell you quickly, I was ready. I was up. I was ready. I was focused. And then I passed out.
No way. I understand. I was 30 minutes late to work today, so I understand the struggle.
Yeah, my phone had died. And
I'm
just going to let it charge, I'm just going to let it charge for a little bit, and it ended up being like 45 minutes. And I passed all the way out. I'm sorry. I was ready, guys. But it's so
you're
hot.
Fine. You hear now. That's all that matters.
It's so hot and muggy and sticky and everything. So, this is that type of weather that, you can't keep your eyes open. So, all right, we'll apologize. For the late start. Another reason why I don't do shows. It's because you can't have the fan on or the AC on, and it's too hot to be not able to have this stuff on. So that's another reason why I don't like doing shows in the summer. So this might be my last show officially for the summer. But hey, guys.
Okay.
Welcome back to Not On Purpose Talk Radio. First and foremost, how the hell are you? I skipped last week, and I'm going to get into the reason why we skipped last week. But before all that, how are you doing, ma'am, for the whole 2 weeks we've been here from each other?
I am doing good. I'm still taking it a day at a time. Just, trying to stay afloat with everything going on in the world. How has this last 2 weeks treated you?
Yeah, it's a lot going on. Can you still hear me?
Uh-huh, I can.
Okay. All right, so, there's a lot going on in the world today. Last week, let's go back to when we first stopped chatting with each other. Okay, so not last week, but the week before last, we did a show on Amplified Privileged, and we was talking about the Karens of the world. In the midst of us doing the show, a video has showed of a gentleman by the name of George Floyd. So as I was focusing on Amplified Privilege, and I was saying about this racial tension, and we talked about all this, Shante, as we was doing the show, this video was being played over and over again. And the video consists of a black man by the name of George Floyd, who was basically murdered. Like, that is homicide. It's literally technically homicide right now. Who was murdered by police during police brutality. This man had three officers resting their knee on different parts of his body, from his neck to his stomach. In his side, he has three different officers rested upon him for a whole almost 9 minutes. It was 8 minutes and 40 something seconds. and he ended up dying, and a teenager recorded it. The whole, well, she didn't call it the whole incident, but that incident, and you could see this white officer with his knee on this man's neck, and he's telling him he can't breathe for 9 minutes, and this man is comfortably sitting up there, and the racial pot literally blew over. It literally blew, like, I don't know how else to describe it. It just overflooded, and enough is a freaking enough. Now, we've already been on lockdown because of the COVID-19, a.k.a. coronavirus. We've already been on lockdown for over 100 days. Now, they started protesting. The protesting turned into rioting in some places. The rioting also included some looting and more police brutality. But it all ended with majority of the states of the United States. This happened within our country. This happened globally, actually. This whole rioting, protesting against police brutality, against social injustice, it happened globally. And basically, when it was time to do a show, we were just coming off of it. It was crazy. It was crazy, crazy, because like I said, we were already fuming about the pandemic. You know, we already had issues about the pandemic. But we had the young lady, Amy Cooper, the week prior, who was calling the police on a black man, and she was trying to weaponize that, you know, that hate and that discrimination, and basically she was trying to use it as a weapon because she literally was caught on camera saying that she's going to lie and tell them that she's scared for her life and that she's threatened for her life and weaponize it. And they have the ordeal, once again, on camera. So it was scary, to say the least. But it was not, like, we literally predicted this was going to happen. I'm trying to tell you, I don't know if you understand that when we did Amplify Privilege, we were already thinking along these lines of how this was going to pan out. Do you feel that? How was your week during the protest / curfew / what you think?
I mean, so I have a huge issue with the fact that there has been a lot of peaceful protests that turned into riots. And a big issue I have with it is the amount of people that I have seen on social media or talked to myself or saw on the news that basically said, hey, we were peacefully protesting and then the cops showed up and started throwing tear gas on us. Or the cops showed up in riot gear and tried to break up a peaceful protest. Because to me, it's making it so that, you know, you're forcing us to do more. If you throw tear gas on people, you don't know what's going to happen. In North Carolina, in Raleigh, the capital of North Carolina, the cops showed up and threw tear gas on people peacefully protesting. And then it escalated. I mean, I watched a guy jump on, get through a barricade, and jump on top of a police SUV. And then next thing you know, there's three of them. And it's like, you know, I can't fault them for doing it. Because it's like, you know, as soon as you put your hands on us, or as soon as you throw tears at us, and then you don't know how people react to it.
Right.
I know for a fact when it comes to me and pepper spray, my eyes are dry. So pepper spray actually pisses me the hell off. And I get really amped up. And until the point that all of this is coming down and I'm finally in tears because I'm so pissed off, that's when pepper spray actually affects me the way that it affects normal people. So in a situation with you throwing tear gas on people, it's like, what's the use of this if people are peacefully protesting? Like, how do you have a white supremacist protest and the cops just walk right by them? Why? Because they're probably the exact same people who want to be right there in the protest. But, I mean, the curfew's getting put in place. I understand it. I definitely think that a lot of people take away from what we are protesting, what Black Lives Matter means, and what is truly going on in America whenever they bring up the fact that there is rioting and looting going on. But I wish that people would look at the fact that a lot of the times that this has started, it's not us starting it. It's other people starting it and us saying, okay, let's go with it. But then let's also look at what happens when white people win the World Series. When the Super Bowl. There are plenty of times that they have fucked up cities just because they were happy.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to us, we tried to peacefully protest. You have Colin Kaepernick that was kneeling. And he was kneeling quietly, but that was too much for you. And now that we have to resort to violence to get a point across or to get people to see what's going on, now this is too much too. It's like, you know, you get people saying, well, why can't you do this peacefully? Well, when we did it peacefully, you weren't paying attention.
Right.
What do you want us to do?
I mean, personally,
with work, we actually had to have a hard discussion on a Zoom call at work because people put curfews in places, but they didn't put curfews in place everywhere. So the city I live in didn't have a curfew. Every city that I worked in had a curfew except for one of them. So I had to work in a city that didn't have a curfew that's an hour away from my house, and I had to drive through a city that I would have got in as soon as curfew hit. I would have started driving through the city, and I did.
Wow.
And it's a 30-minute drive through the city. And so the day after that, we had a call, and I had to tell, you know, my supervisor's white. Her sister's supervisors are both white. Their supervisor is white. And I had to sit here and say, well, what happened? Because we're considered essential employees, and we still have a job to do. A lot of us don't live in the same city that we work in. The
what?
City I work in full time, they put a curfew in place 2 hours before the curfew. It was 6 o'clock. I didn't even know if I had time to get in touch with my staff before the 8 o'clock curfew. And so we actually had someone that was pulled over for riding his bike after curfew in another city. Thank God it ended well, but I just sit here and say, what happens when it doesn't end well? What happens if I'm at my house and another city puts a curfew in place and all of my staff are basically black and they get pulled over? What are we going to do then? And so I think it's all a lot, and it's causing a lot of trauma to a lot of people. And I don't think the end is near. Those are my thoughts on it so far.
So far, I mean, that's a lot because you actually are an essential worker. So, I understand why you wouldn't have came to a show yes last week. But that was one of the main reasons, unfortunately, why we didn't do a show last week, because mentally, just trying to figure shit out. Like, we're still literally trying to figure everything that's going out and trying to process it. Because before all this happened, you know, you're telling me to go in at 8 o'clock. Well, first of all, you told me I wasn't even allowed to leave my house. I was technically on self-quarantine, the stay-at-home order. Now you're telling me, oh, well, if you leave, you got to be back at a certain time. And you're giving another reason or another bulletin or another legalized manner in which we have to deal with the police. When we finally have, this is the thing, this is not just now that this is happening. This is a process. This is everything that's going on when we had to wear your mask, when it was mandatory that when you go outside you have to wear your mask, it was known that people in the black community or in the minority community was getting pulled over, was getting stopped and frisked, was getting arrested, was getting summoned for either, quote unquote, not social distancing or having on a mask. They were, like, they were already attacking us. They already had us in they already had us in their bullseye. You know, they even seen it. And, you know, media gets the worst brunt of all this as well, because they're like, media is owned by the 6 largest corporations and blah, blah, blah. It's a whole thing with media. That's for another show. But media also includes social networking. And if you, and you know, to use the words of MTA, if you see something, say something. So social media is what's bringing all this injustice to light right now. We're depending on the videos of others. We're depending on the Facebooks, the Twitters, and the Instagrams that are showing us what's going on out there that hasn't been directly in our face. And unfortunately, it's an ugly, ugly world out there. And like I said, we're already trying to process the death of our loved ones because of this unknown threat, or this unseeable threat, which was the COVID-19 pandemic. And then on top of that, you have the police who are there to protect and serve. But unfortunately, we don't get that we don't get that same level of protection or that same quality of protection that someone white would. You know, I went out, I think, I want to say the Wednesday or Thursday after the show, and right before they implemented the curfew, the first night they implemented the curfew, they said it was 11 o'clock. And I had ran out, not because I wanted to run into a protest, but I was actually heading out to see if I could find a check cashing place. And I just happened to be in an Uber, and the Uber turned the corner. And as we turned the corner, we literally ran into the protest. Like, we literally ran into hundreds of people. Once I seen the gathering of people, the police was there, but they wasn't trying to rough nobody up. They wasn't doing nothing but managing traffic. And you just seen this overwhelming amount of people, black, white, Asian, young, old, men, women. Like, they were literally just standing in the middle of the street. Like, they stopped traffic. No permit, no nothing. Y'all going to have to deal with this because there's over 100 people just sitting right there. I was like, wait a minute, hold on. This is serious. You know, that's when I got the eye open. I wasn't dressed for nothing. I was looking so homeless. But this is black history in the making. Literally, these days, you know, May 25th, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. These days are going down in history. They're written in history books right now. The social injustice, the social issues that we're going through, Black Lives Matter, all that is written in the history books, and you're literally living black history right now. And that's all I could really think of as all this is going on all week. Like, this is black history in the making. 2020 itself is just history, black history in the making. Like, you're literally living black history right now. I don't have a clock in front of me, but I want to say to all those that are listening, thank y'all for tuning in. If you just tuned into the show, we're talking about what I call the New World Order. We're basically recapping the last 14 days, if you will, in the world as far as protesting and the death of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and Ahmaud Arbery. You can give us a call at 515-602-9725. That's 515-602-9725. Press 1, and I'll definitely let you on. So we're in Black History in the Making. This pandemic is still out there. It's still affecting people. It's still an issue. Today, New York City decided to finally do phase one, as they call it, of reopening. So some businesses were allowed to reopen, but they were only allowed to do pickups. You know, you could drive, pick up your order, or you can pay for it online and stuff like that. So that's what they're doing at this very moment in New York City. The curfew was lifted. Sunday was the last day of about 8 o'clock p.m. curfew. From 8 p.m. to 5 a.m., we were not allowed to be outside. And unfortunately, like I said, it gave the same people that we're fighting, like it was a double-edged sword the whole week, because it's like the same people that you're fighting against are the same people that are enforcing these rules. And that's the whole issue, they're enforcing these rules. So the people of Black America and around the world of the Black community finally said enough is enough. And they set it out to peaceful protesting against police brutality, anti-Black racism, and social injustice within the communities during a global pandemic of COVID-19. From the youth to the elderly, the communities came together. And now we have a closer look at reform underway. And Minnesota is where George Floyd died and was caught on camera. This is where it all started from. And Minnesota's thinking about their reform is they want to demolish the whole police force. You know, and they're actually considering it. Like, how would the world look without an actual police force? And instead, they want to use more of a community-based outreach. I mean, I'm not saying, I don't know how that would look. I don't know how the world would look without police. But they're saying that a lot of people that the police are confronting and getting away with are people that are mentally ill. So they say, let's use mental health workers. Let's use more community-based social workers and more community-based organizations to deal with those type of orders, which I actually agree with. And I think those are what you call outreach programs. You know, a lot of places, including our state of New York, they've decided to take some of the funding from the police department and actually put it towards more programs that help people as far as mental health, domestic violence, and schools, and you know, starting programs that help, you know, kids and things of that nature. So I've seen that. What do you think so far? What do you think? How do you think the world will look without a police force?
I don't know. My thing is this, okay? At one point in time, there wasn't a police force. So how did things look when there wasn't a police force? But we are definitely in a much different state than we were when there wasn't a police force back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
I think it could be possible depending on what we do. I don't think there are enough trained mental health workers to put mm-hmm. that big of a demand on them, mm-hmm. especially with all of the trauma that is currently going on, because mm-hmm. you have COVID-19 that hit, and mental health workers are an essential, we're essential workers. But mm-hmm. the federal government does not fund us like we are essential workers.
Mm-hmm.
So last that I heard, all the money that's supposed to be going to essential workers once everything gets passed, it's actually not going to trickle down to mental health workers. So mm-hmm. you have a lot of mental health workers that are still out here working, still fighting, still doing what we do every day, exposing ourselves and for those people that have families that they live with, exposing ourselves and our families to COVID-19 and the virus as a whole, and we're not getting incentive pay in a lot of places. There's right. no incentive pay. There's no, there's nothing for a lot of us. There's some agencies that have been able to do it, but from everyone I've talked to, most of them haven't. It hasn't. It's not hazard pay for a lot of us. A lot of us are still getting paid the exact same amount we were getting paid, and we are in an environment that could potentially kill us a lot more faster than if we were typically doing our job on a daily basis. So the trauma that is associated with that, because we do have individuals that it's harder to engage. We have individuals that we're having to commit to hospitals that we've never had to commit to the hospital before. And on top of that, the murder of George Floyd and peaceful protests turning into riots and the stuff that we are seeing on social media, it is causing a big influx of a lot more trauma that mental health workers are not necessarily trained on how to work through themselves. And so, like the agency I work for, one of the big fights that we put in place is the fact that when the hurricane hit, because we do have therapists, we have psychiatrists, we have all of that internally at the agency I work for. When the hurricane hit, we get this whole thing about trauma services for everyone that was affected by the hurricane. George Floyd was murdered, and he was murdered in front of the world, and it has been played over and over again, and there is so much trauma that comes from it. On the call that we had probably about 10 different African-Americans that spoke about our experiences of what we've been through. And one of the things that I said on the call was, I said, you know, it's a shame that I am completely okay with telling someone that I'm pansexual and knowing that they won't judge me because of it. But I automatically know as soon as you see me and you see that I'm black, half of y'all are going to judge me because of it. I'm not okay with that. It's a big issue. And so I think that if you put it on mental health workers, could we get it done? Yeah, we know how to de-escalate a lot of different people. We know how to link people to resources so that they don't have to be out there stealing. We know how to link people to housing and other resources so that they are getting their basic needs met. We know how to get out there and find people jobs so that they're actually giving back to the community. These are all resources that aren't funded at the rate that they should be funded to truly make a big impact. So I think it definitely could help out. But I also question what it would look like, because I don't think there's enough mental health workers that are actually in therapy or have access to therapy themselves. Because we deal with a lot of stressful things every day. And when you have a pandemic going on, and then you have protests and riots all through the U.S. and overseas and all these places, and social media just keeps flaming with them, and you have people that are openly showing that they are racist and posting racist things, it becomes very difficult for us. So I get it, and I would like to see how it's going to work. I'm not putting all my eggs in one bucket when it comes to it, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think there's a lot of kinks that are going to have to be worked out. And I think a bigger issue is there are going to be a lot of people that don't want to see the police department go away. They don't feel like anyone can protect them but the police. And I'm scared to see how they would react once police departments go away, because I feel like you could end up with some angry mobs of white people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's literally what they would be.
Right. So true. So true. It's a lot to take on mentally, whether you're an essential worker or not. This whole thing is, it's a lot. One of the things that I was concerned about, or one of the things I think should happen and we should focus on is, you know, down the line, like you said, if it's possible, we can think about dissolving the police force. But at this moment, at this point in time, something more realistic is defunding the police report of police force. Maybe if you find that if you look at the whole criteria it takes to become a police officer, start there. What is mandatory, look at the training that police officers are getting. Look at the fact that if a police officer has been charged with any type of violent or misconduct, then and the city feel like that victim should be rewarded, instead of it coming from the taxpayer dollars, make it come from their pocket. You know, they have to pay out that. You know, the taxpayers will pay the initial $250,000, $3 million. But, yeah, you're going to have to pay that back, whether it comes from your pension, whether it comes just how you have to pay for your 401k. Yeah, you're going to have to pay that back. Also, the fact that we have the police having access to military gear, the guns and the weaponry that the military use, police officers are using. The fact that you have to take a psychological test, I need y'all to use the same test y'all use on the psycho killers for police officers. You know, I need you to ask the same questions you ask those that have been arrested or you feel like it's a threat. I need you to ask those to the police officers as well, because they're slipping in somehow, some way. And it may not be at police officer level. You may have to go a little bit higher than that. You know, even when it comes down to being a commissioner, I need you to look at their contacts, who they're keeping. You know, I need you to keep a trace of those individuals and who they here have in their back pocket. So I think that's where this is going on. A lot of the things that's going on is that we're missing a whole level. Because you made it, it don't mean you need to stay there. You know, and you have to be reevaluated. You want to be in this particular field, there has to be a deeper criteria for you to be in this field, because what you're doing is we're handing maniac guns. We're giving the most psychopathical people that have hate in their heart, people that was taught hate, people that was born to hate, are getting armed with weapons. And that's where our issue is coming in. It's no longer about just race. It doesn't matter your race. It doesn't matter your gender. It doesn't matter your religion. I need you to be biased. I don't need that hate. I'm not saying you don't have an opinion, but if you want to express that, and that gun is giving you a certain entitlement, you know, this is a mental thing. That's what we're going to say. This is a mental thing, because what they're doing is that's hate crime. The same thing we call them to help us fight against, or the same thing that they're bringing against us. I just seen another video. I don't even know when this happened, but it came into my inbox of a ex-NFL player. It's a minute video. This happens all within a minute. The video starts of the police officers, three police officers, and this one man. His hands are cuffed behind his head. He's like, "I'm not resisting. I'm not resisting." They're pushing him.
Yeah.
One cop pulled his legs up from under him. They slam him to the ground. Mind you, all this is happening with his arms handcuffed behind his head. And they're pulling him. They done strained his shoulder. And the guy, he's like, "I'm not resisting." They have him in this weird position. They distort his body. And then one of the hot cops, the first thing he does is he presses his hand against this man's neck and you hear this man saying, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. And like I said, all this happened in literally a minute. The video ends with this man passed out. He's fainted now.
Mm.
Like, I can't breathe, I can't be. You got his body distorted. You got his, you got the one officer, like, between his legs, wrapped around the officer. His hands are behind his back. His body is twisted. And then this man is putting pressure on his neck until he passes out. This, it's no longer them feeling threatened. It's a power thing. It's a, when they come up, and the fact that you have that presence, black man, black woman, it's no longer the fact of if you or would you or I'm scared of my life. It's the fact that your presence alone brings that terror to them. You don't have to have anything in your hand. This man literally said all he had on him was a phone. That's all they found on him. They dug in his pockets. All he pulled out was a phone. But your presence alone, they done psyched themselves up. And that plays a part too. You know, like, oh, I don't understand why this is happening, but you've always been a king, you've always been a queen, and I'm just going to take it there. I'm just going to run over there for a minute. You know, your history before you even came over to this world, that's what you was. You was royalty before you came over here. You know, before you was brought over here, you was royalty. So your essence alone, they felt threatened by that. You know, we're different than you. We're built different. We carry ourselves different. And you know, that if that can threaten someone on a normal basis, just imagine now this person is armed. He got weapons now. And it's like, well, if you put those weapons down, would you still have that same persona? Would you still have that same mental capacity to deal with me if you didn't have that baton? If you didn't have that taser, if you didn't have that 9 Glock in your hand, would you still feel the same way? Would you still feel threatened by me? If you did, would you still approach me? Would you, you know what I mean? Like, so I get it, but they, and I think that's what all this funding needs to do is need to really focus on the mental health aspect. And I think there's a loophole there, too. That piggyback it off of what you're saying. There's a loophole when it comes to mental health as well. So you had a difficult going through the curfew. I was like, I do all my best shit in the middle of the night. So that curfew did something to me because it's like, I don't eat at 8 o'clock. I eat at 11 o'clock. So, you know, I couldn't even order my my good old Uber Eats because I read in the book somewhere that they stopped it essential workers, even though the delivery person is an essential worker, they stopped them. So you know, and like I said, it has been hectic. So I don't know. It's been a whole loop. And like I said, you still got the whole COVID-19 thing going on, the whole pandemic thing. Like I said, New York City is trying to open back up. But how is life going to look now?
Very different.
It's like, first of all, you had to deal with the whole, you had to deal with the whole thing. But now we have Black Lives Matter going on. We got these protests going on. We got racism going on. We got COVID-19 going on. So how does this, how will this affect us in 2020? Now that the world is trying to open and find some normalcy, what does normal look like? That basically, that's my question right there. What is normal going to look like now? And that's what we're just trying to figure out. Even before the whole protesting stuff like that, we were looking at a big change socially, economically. There's a lot of people out there that have lost their jobs. There's a lot of companies out there that have gone under. So how does that look for, you know, how does that look like, you know, what do you think, Chante? What do you think the new world order is looking like?
The new normal is not normal at all. I don't think we'll ever get back to a sense of normalcy. I don't think it's possible for us to get back to a sense of normalcy. I think it's all going to be new normal stuff that happens. And we are going to have to figure out what is the world going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to figure out what we want the world to look like. We are going to have to figure out what should it look like, because what's going to be normal to me in the coming days is not going to be normal to other people. And I don't think we can put something blanket over what it's going to look like. I can definitely say in North Carolina, we were already in phase two of opening back up. With us being in phase two of opening back up, we went under the curfew and things got shut back down. Even with the curfew, people still weren't listening to a lot of the guidelines because they were out protesting. And then on top of that, places that were doing it, if they didn't have insurance to cover it, who knows if those places are going to come back. So you have people losing jobs, people that are still coping and don't have the resources to cope with, people that don't know what to do because they're scared to go outside their house. So I think that we have to figure out what is going to be our normal, and we have to firmly stand by our brothers and sisters and what we decide as a whole, or what majority decides. Because that's going to be what gets us to a better place. And I think that's the big thing, you know. You're going to have people that are against the Black Lives Matter movement. There are a lot of people that are against it. And, you know, you have all these people that are All Lives Matter, but all lives aren't in danger right now. You know, I shouldn't be scared to walk outside of my house. I shouldn't be scared to go to the store because I don't know what this person behind me or in front of me is going to do. And then at the same time, I've listened to other people in other states where in a city in Arizona, the commissioner or someone put out that white people didn't need to be traveling alone, because they had so many threats against bodily harm to white people if they were seen out in the public.
Right.
So a friend of mine told me that her friend couldn't go to work for the next 2 weeks. And I said, you know, I hate the fact that people are threatening her life. I truly do. But at the same time, she's dealing with the fear that we have dealt with for years and forever.
Right.
She is understanding what we've been through forever. And I know that her privileged ass didn't understand that before. And she had no clue of it. And when it was brought to her attention like that, she broke down in tears. But it's like, you guys are so privileged. You guys don't see this. I think the big move is going to be, how do we educate people? Personally, I feel like racism needs to be put in the DSM. I feel like it needs to be put down as a mental health diagnosis. Now, I struggle with that a little bit because to me, racism is tough. It's something that's completely wrong. You typically do not wake up and say, I hate someone else just because I hate them. But I feel like it gets indoctrinated into people and they get conditioned to be like that. And I feel like that if we could treat it like a mental health diagnosis, there is some form of rehabilitation that could come with it. Now, do I feel like all the funding needs to go to that? No, definitely not, because we have a lot more mental health diagnoses out there that we really need to be giving really good treatment to and making sure that they are in the best place they can be. But I do feel like there needs to be some funding that goes to rehabilitating people that have grown up in racist families and have fallen into that category.
Mhm.
So yeah, I think I kind of got off topic there, but I hope I kind of answered the question.
No. It's all, you know, it's interesting, but these are some questions that really need to be asked. No, I agree with you 113%. These are some questions that really do need to be asked. And, you know, we're trying to leave it up to the professionals. I think that's what's going to happen. Like we've seen earlier this week, will we, you know, do we have to take matters into our own hands? That's what it boils down to. Do we have to take matters into our own hands?
Yeah.
How does that look? You know, how does that look? And what you're saying is, I can't trust the police. You know, I can't trust the police, so I need to find a way to, you know, look into arming myself or looking to protect myself against crime because I don't trust the police. I don't want to have to call them. If they're not on my first to call list, you know, and not just, you know, how I'm looking at it. How I think about it, but it is a reality, you know. Definitely is a reality.
Oh, I want to add this to that real quick.
Uh-huh.
So, it's the same when you have to know a police officer that you can call on the police because you know that this person knows you and that this is a non-biased opinion coming in. But even then, that gets a little iffy. The other part to it is when you're dealing with people that have mental health diagnosis, sometimes there are times that we do have to call the police because we get to a point to where for the safety of everyone around, it is best that we have someone else come in that can at least detain a person until we can get them to the hospital. So typically it's the police or EMS or firefighters that can come in and assist us with this. But even as a mental health worker, I ask the question, do I even want to call you now?
Right.
Do I decide that I'm going to just take this all on myself and figure out, hey, one of us got to come out? And I mean, I've been in some situations before to where was I proud of what I had to say? I feel like I wasn't, but it was a truthful comment. I've been in a couple situations to where my reply, if things would have kept escalating, was one of us has to come out alive and it's going to be me.
Right.
And I don't want to look at an individual that I know is in a psychotic state and say one of us has to come out alive and know it's going to be me and then have to decide, do I handle this on my own or do I call the police? Especially when it's a Caucasian individual. I mean, I've had an individual punch out a window that was literally 2 inches from my face. Like, that's how far the window was punched in. I've had people try to do all types of things. And it's like, you know, do I call the police and then I jeopardize myself getting in trouble or something happening to me because they just wind up knowing that this person couldn't have done any of this?
What?
Or do I just handle it myself? And it's not an okay situation to be in.
That's
my two cents about it.
It makes sense. It's just so crazy. I don't know how else to say it. We're nearing the end of the show soon, but once again, this is not on purpose talk. This is not on purpose talk radio, where we're talking about the New World Order. You know how things are going to look after the COVID-19, after the protesting, after the looting, after the anti-black racism. How are things going to look if you wasn't able to make tonight's live show, You can always hit us up on Facebook at Hearts, E-X Hearts. That's H-E-A-R-T-S. E-X-H-E-R-T-S. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can always hit us up on our website at www.heartsexposedheart.com. We love to hear what you think. How do you see your New World Order in the rest of 2020? COVID-19 is still out there. This pandemic is still out there. The racism is still out there. The police brutality is still out there. All this stuff that's in front of us right now is still out there. But as Shantae has pointed out, we have newer problems that are coming to the forefront. And we have to really, you know, think about our individual safety as well as public safety. You know, mm-hmm. I'm a single woman. I live alone. I have no children. I have two little cats. and I live in Brooklyn, New York. Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn, New York. And it was kind of scary with just the pandemic. But now it's like, if somebody was to break in, what do I do? Not saying I have anything for anybody to take, but I'm just saying that becomes an issue. Like, if I got into a confrontation with somebody, do I call? Do I still call 911? Like, what do I do? Is there a way for me, like, I have to find a way to protect myself. I know I don't want a gun. I know I'm not even about that life. I'm not even, don't even give me a gun because somebody's going to die and knock out that 10, it might be me. So I don't want a gun. Give me a taser or something. I'm just saying, I'm slippery. I'm clumsy. Like, I trip standing up. Like, that's me. So I don't know. I know for a fact I don't want a gun in my possession. There might be a bullet wall. There might be a bullet in the wall, and I'm gonna blame it on that. So I'm not even don't even put me in that position. This is something we have to think about as a black woman, a big black fat woman in Lord 2020. Jesus. Right, in 2020, what we gonna do? Listen, Bertha, Esther,
yeah.
Momo, my sister's out there. What are we going to do?
That's a great question.
What are we going to do out there? Is there any type of programs going up there like that, like self-defense? Also, I think there should be, and there probably are organizations out there that are putting together classes about, you know, how to confront the police, how to deal with that situation. That's something too that needs to be advertised. Like, these organizations need to advertise more. We need to have some type form of, I think that's what our community needs right now, some way to communicate throughout the community, to our people. Whether they start purchasing ad space or cable television, infomercials, you got the World Wide Web, but we need to start making our news, you know. Don't just leave it in the hands of the big six corporations. We need to find a way, even if we go to and get a BCAT channel, a public access channel like PBS, we need to have BLM Network, you know, or something like that, where we have a place where we can voice our concerns and have that. That's what we need to put in place, some type of community network, whether it be our own Facebook, whether it be, you know, our own newspaper, something where we could communicate with our community in different areas in our community. I think that's the first step, you know. When it's like call to arms, then, you know, we know that's when we have to go to get the call.
Yeah.
But I think that's something that
definitely.
We need to really look into. We need to look into that. We have, they have a list of they have a list of, like, all these black-owned businesses as well. They, you know, I've been trying to support. I've got a little soul food restaurant. But a lot of black-owned businesses that they're promoting are vegan. I'm like, wait, hold up. Those black people ain't never been that healthy.
You know, nowadays, we got to make sure we are things because you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah,
nowadays,
we
got to be all the things and more.
Mm.
That is surprising that a lot of them are vegan.
Yeah. I mean, the
but
way they made it seem like we're not healthy at all. Right, but they made it seem like we're not healthy at all. But a lot
too.
Of this stuff is hate, please.
Well, I don't think it's the fact that they're saying we're not healthy. I think it's the fact that black people understand that we're not going to go to these high-end vegan places and they make stuff that caters to our taste buds and that also is reasonable for us.
I guess.
Hello? Oh.
I'm here.
Okay, I was like,
I'm here.
I think that's why, but that's, it's very interesting to me that there are so many vegan places.
Yeah, a lot of places I went were like paint, but yeah, like plant-based, it was plant-based restaurants and new age stuff, which is cool. You know, I'm more with it. I like it. You know, I like to try something new. I'm not even going to front. I was trying to try some homemade ice pops, but because of COVID-19, the shop is closed. They're like 2 days for order, and you got to order 10 at a time. Listen, I don't know about what you're doing, but I'm going to go to Amazon. I'm buying my
own. I don't even know if I like them yet.
Huh?
I said, I don't even know if I like them yet. You want me to order 10?
Right. That's what I'm saying. I don't know. I just heard about you. You're like, homemade ice cream. I don't know. I've been trying to make ice cream by myself. So I don't know. I ain't figured that out yet. I ain't get that close yet. You know, but hopefully, hopefully this is not the end of 2020. That's all I'm saying. I'm still fighting to reach November 9th, 2020. That's my 40th birthday. I'm still on the rise to try to reach it to see my 20th birthday. COVID, near looting, near racism, near New World Order is going to stop me from getting to the 40. I don't mean to sound negative, guys, but there's always, it seems like, you know, it's hard for me to get to 40. I don't know. It's
yeah.
Like a hit or miss right now.
I'm just trying to get to July 18th, honey.
I'm just trying to get to 40. Good grief. Birthday seemed kind of far out there. I don't know what's going to happen. But it's starting to look a little bleak out there. We're going to figure it out. I've been searching I've been searching for a sewing machine. I need to start something. My new order consists of moo moves. I need to make moo moves. I can't go shopping for the summer because we've been in quarantine and stuff. So I need to find outfits for the summer. Now we open it back up. I didn't think we were gonna have a summer.
That is so true too. I ain't even got a birthday outfit, and my birthday next month.
Oh man, we out of it. We out of the mix. We need to find a way. Find a way out there. I don't know if I know I'm not going to the beach. I want to go to the pool, but I don't know if that's going to open up. I don't know how that's going to work out. I have to come down here to North Carolina and get an Airbnb or something and have a pool party or something. So, for those who are tuning in right now, thank y'all so much for supporting us. so far. This is what, like our 12th episode. We did a good job. It's summertime, so we may not have any shows. I might just do like a quick, you know, hey, how you doing, guys? But normally I don't do shows during the summertime for a couple of reasons. One, my building has bad wiring, so I normally have blackouts. Like, we used to flip one, everybody have one of the ACs, they pull in the energy, and boop, everything goes out, which was hectic. It's hot.
Oh, no.
I know y'all can hear the fan in the background, so I have a fan on. I can't have it pointing at me right now, and I'm sitting here sweating bullets right now. Like, I'm literally sitting here covered in sweat. Like, it's a lot going on.
Oh, no.
So that's why I don't do shows when it starts to get hot out, especially when it gets hot in the nighttime. I don't, and that's what happened to me. I got tired, I got sleepy, and I was like, I'm going to do a show in 5 minutes. And 5 minutes be seeming like 2 hours. You wake up, you be like, oh, my bad. Like, oh, okay. So,
yeah.
That's what we got going on with myself. But I'm about to buy some fabric glue. I'm going to make my skirt out of some old denim. Shout out to the 804. They
still have a
book. I see them pop up. And I don't even know where that's at. And I want to give a shout out to people listening. Thanks for tuning in. Chantel, you have any final words for us this week?
We'll see y'all when we see y'all around, or we'll talk to you when we do. I mean, we got to figure out what's going to happen next week. So I was telling you to quit playing Jumanji already, but we'll see when the game's going to get to an end.
If, okay, so here's the deal. I can continue the show if I can get me a portable AC. If I can't find me a portable AC,
okay, well, just let me know, you know?
So that's
let me know.
That's where we are right now. I'm looking for a portable AC. I'm going to go to Walmart. I'm going to research, find me a portable AC. I don't know how I'm going to get it to my house, but, you know, if I get me a portable AC, then maybe we can talk about doing a show. But anyway, enjoy the summer. Enjoy your week. Enjoy your night. Enjoy tomorrow. One thing to say is just take it one day at a time. Thank y'all so much for tuning in. Thank y'all so much for supporting and, you know, just being around. Like, there's people that listen to the show when they can't make it during the evening. They download the show. You can catch us on YouTube. Oh, no, not YouTube yet. You can catch us on iTunes. I mean, so the show is on iTunes. It's downloadable. You can go to my website, www.heartsexposedhearts.com, and you can listen to the playback right there from the website and all the shows that we've done thus far for the first season of Not On Purpose Talk Radio. So, yeah, this is going to be the season right here. This is season ender right here. That's what we're doing, season ender. So on that note, everyone, have a great and blessed everything. Thank you all for tuning in. Goodbye! We did it, Shantae. We did the show. Woo-hoo.
We did it. Congrats, cousin. Yes.
Yeah, no, congrats. We did it. We did a whole season. It only took us about 40 weeks. But we did it.
Hey, we did it. Don't matter how long it took, we did it. That's all that matters.
Right. We got a whole season on our belt. So on that note, y'all, once again, bye again. Bye.
You're listening to Not On Purpose Talk Radio on the Hearts Exposed Heart Network.